Hey, welcome back to Love and Lead. Becky and Jean here today. Jean, we're actually wrapping up our first series here on the invitation to the rhythm of life with a topic called long-term parenting. This is one that's really near and dear to your heart. So would you open it up for us? What are we talking about?
Sure. Long-term parenting is the idea that what we do for and with our kids today, no matter what age they are, is going to affect their future. Remembering that parenting in general, the goal of that is to raise successful adults. So already parenting is a future-looking thing. And this concept of long-term parenting is something I wish that I would have heard when I had very young children. I got caught up in the immediate, probably like many of our listeners today, like so many of us parents, when our child is screaming that they want ice cream and we say no, and then we say no again, and we say no again, but they don't stop screaming. Eventually they get the ice cream. That is short-term parenting, just trying to get them to be quiet right now. What they've learned, I mean, that might not sound like a big deal because you brought some peace. You've lowered your anxiety, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, noticing what's going on with us. A screaming child makes our anxiety rise. So giving in to them seems like the easiest way to stop that situation. And in some ways it is. But what has that child learned as a result of that interaction? They've learned that if they make enough noise, if they fuss enough, that they're going to get their way. Again, you might not think that's a problem, but what happens when that child becomes 30 years old and they are trying to navigate marriage with somebody who's very different than they are, or trying to keep a job? What we do with our kids, no matter what stage of life they're at, is going to affect their future. So there's just some assumptions that you need to think about. I like to use this analogy. If you're deciding, like for me, I wanted to drive to meet you today. So I got in my car and I figured out the route I was going to drive. And I knew it ahead of time. I knew where I needed to get to. But let's say something would have happened and maybe I would have swerved and taken a thought something was going to be a shortcut.
Okay.
I'm going to end up someplace I didn't mean to be.
Sure.
I'm just going to keep going down that wrong way.
Right.
That happens all the time. If we're not ready to think about what might come up with our kids, we could end up someplace we didn't mean to be.
Absolutely. That's such a great visual, Jean. And I think I immediately go back to how reactive we can be as parents. Reacting from our own childhood, reacting to their current behavior, like rather than what I'm hearing, purposeful, intentional, where are we headed? Keeping that long view.
Yeah, it's important because this is kind of a brand new way to think about parenting. And so you're going to have to sit down and decide some things ahead of time. Like imagine your child as an adult. What do you want them to know? What information do you want them to have? Maybe you want them to be able to cook a meal for themselves. Maybe you want them to be able to make change in their minds, whatever it is. As an adult, envision them as an adult. And what do you want them to have experienced? I know some parents think that they want their children to have experienced a huge amount of things, that they just are on the go, on the go, on the go, on the go, that experiencing all the Walt Disney theme parks is like one of their goals, or visit all the major league baseball stadiums. They want them to experience those things. That might not be yours. You might want them to experience what it's like to go fishing, to experience what it's like to canoe. I mean, whatever you think that you would like them to have experienced, you're going to have to start putting those things into your calendar,
into your rhythms. Budget.
Yeah, into your budget. Right. What kind of skills do you want mm-hmm. them to have? What characteristics do you want them to have?
Mm.
Do you want them to learn to have delayed satisfaction?
Mm.
To be patient? Do you want them to learn, you know, whatever it is that is in your family values? What do you want your kids to learn? Honesty?
Yeah.
Then you're going to need to be honest
right.
with them. Do you want them to learn patience and kindness or selfishness and rudeness?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course we don't, but we have to monitor our own behavior in order to help our kids learn these things that we want for them to be as an adult. What kind of relationships do you want them to be involved in?
Mm.
I know it was very important to me and my husband for our kids to have Christian friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made it a priority for them to go to youth group.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the relationships we wanted them to have because we felt that those were going to be long lasting for them. And they do still have some of those same relationships they had as teenagers now
right.
that they're in their 30s. And, you know, what kind of relationship do you want them to have with God? I know there's a lot of parents that ask my opinion if they should force their children to go to church with them, wondering what that will do for them in the future. And I don't know that I would force your children to go to church, but if they see you going to church regularly,
mm-hmm.
they're more apt to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the last thing that you're going to do on a weekend, then it'll probably be the last thing that they're going to do on a weekend.
Right.
So there's so many. Thinking about long-term parenting, it's looking at the results that you and prayerfully God want for your child. And then it's time to get to work.
Yeah. Well, and as you're talking, we use that road analogy. I'm also seeing it as planting a garden.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do in our parenting, our active hands-on deck parenting years, 0 to 18, is a lot of, you're planting seeds
mm-hmm.
that will help grow. So even by encouraging them to help you fold the towels. I remember that was probably one of the first chores I could give my daughter. But what I was doing was planting the seeds that we all help around the household, that you
mm-hmm.
Get to, sorry, my brain's blanking out, but the idea of I want her to grow up now, when you talk about that long-term, does she know how to do her own laundry? Does she take care of her home and her property and her stuff? That seed was probably planted at age 4 when she began to fold towels and understand mm-hmm. this is how we care for what we've been given.
Yeah, that's really, really good. So in your long-term parenting, you have this idea of what you want your child to be like or have the ability to do. In order to get there, you're going to need to have some short-term goals. It can't mm-hmm. just always be looking to the future with your fingers crossed that it'll happen. You need some short-term goals. So for us, when we were parenting, we had some goals. My specific ones were that my children would have a deep, abiding relationship with Jesus. That was very important to me. That my children would have a genuine love for others, that they would be kind and empathetic, and that they would be cheerful, lifelong learners. Those were important goals for us. Those were the things that I kind of was looking at what I wanted them to be as adults.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I would be friends with somebody
mm-hmm.
who would be like that. So maybe, you know, some short-term goals to reach that long-term thing would be things like my children would attend church and learn to pray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a short-term thing I can do with them when they're little to hopefully engage them in their own spiritual growth. My children would help with household chores, kind of going back mm-hmm. to you with your daughter. I also put without complaining, because we're trying to make them be care about others
sure.
and be empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
My children would set aside time each day to read a book to go with my long-term goal of having them be lifelong learners. So do you see how you take what you want to be true in the future and you bring it into, into today in short-term things? So it was never a question to me on Sunday mornings, am I going to get up and go to church? Are we going to do that? Yes, we are.
And I love that in this context of the rhythms of life, all three examples you just gave, Jean, can fit into the rhythm of life, a goal of attending church regularly and praying, the goal of doing our chores, the goal of reading a book every day. That's rhythms that work towards those goals and the long-term parenting.
Yeah. Because kids learn in two ways. They learn directly, like this is how you fold a towel. You put this side over. But they learn just as much indirectly.
Absolutely.
By watching us. And so we can think about what are we teaching our kids now that we want them to have as part of their life in the future? Cooking, cleaning, money skills, basic things. But what are you indirectly teaching them about nutrition, about how to be healthy? If you want your child to eat healthy, a good suggestion would be not to have a lot of snacks.
Start now.
Not to have a lot of snacks in the house.
Yeah.
Not to outlaw them. I mean, there needs to be sometimes foods, we like to call them. You can have this sometimes. But to really have mostly all the time food. What are you teaching your kids indirectly about work? Are you trying to have them have good work ethic? Or slovenly work and a tiny bit of effort still counts? What are you teaching them indirectly about how to handle frustration? Are you somebody as a parent who just gets mad, yells first, and thinks about it later? Or can we train ourselves, lead ourselves to be a little bit more even-tempered? What are you teaching your kids indirectly about relationships and friends and prioritizing and planning? There's just so many things as adults that we know we have to know how to do. Our kids would benefit so greatly for their future if we're teaching them those things now. What I'm suggesting is this very long-term commitment. Again, the garden analogy, the road analogy of going on a trip. It's not something that's going to happen quickly or easily. It does take a lot of effort and it goes a long time. So I want to, if you remember nothing else from what I say today, I think this sentence I'm going to say is key. Kids learn slowly, as we all know, over time, with consistent and thoughtful guidance.
Yeah, and Jean, you talked about the road and garden. It just helps me imagine it because both need continually tended. You're very engaged when you're driving and you're preparing and actually in the act. Gardening is, as this summer has proven to me once again, a continual weeding out, pruning, watering, like, so when you bring this up, this slow, consistent experience with our kids and how they learn, I love how it is not a once and it's not like when you say goal, like, okay, I've accomplished that, check it off the list. It is that like continual engagement, I guess, is what I'm trying to get into that. And that's why I love, I know I keep saying this, but healthy rhythms. What are those rhythms that help us live out those goals, so to speak? Because it's an always commitment and it's not just for parenting.
Right.
I know I might get off topic, but it's for us too, right? We're loving and leading into hopefully a better life, a more life, a fulfilled life. And that's how we want to be. That's what the gift we want to give to our kids.
And so with that, I think something that's very helpful, I've known a number of parents who've come to parenting seminars, and I've helped them kind of understand this long-term parenting idea, and they love it, and they'll make this goal for their successful child as an adult, but they haven't put into their lives the rhythm mm-hmm. of checkups.
Yes.
How are we doing? What yeah. have we done this week toward that goal?
Exactly.
If you want them to be able to take care of their themselves or their laundry, what have you done this week to make that happen? Because as we all know, it's easier for us just to do it ourselves.
I was just thinking that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
And the crucible of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so much easier and faster and neater. The bathroom's always more clean when I do it. However, if I don't sacrifice some of those, like, they won't learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a crucible of parenting.
Oh, it is. There was one period when my three boys, I was homeschooling them, and they were all elementary age. And I looked around the house and thought, no one should live this way. The schooling just took way more of my attention than housekeeping mm-hmm. did. And so I realized they want to be homeschooled and I want to homeschool them. So we're going to work together on this. Mm-hmm. And I gave them each a job for the week. One boy had the bathroom mm-hmm. all week long. One had breakfast dishes or whatever mm-hmm. it was. And that was a wonderful plan when I let that happen. I would yeah. look at what they did and so many times mm-hmm. do it myself. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is they learned two things. One, to be lazy, because mom
I was just
going to
say that. Yep.
But they also learned mm-hmm. that maybe I'm not capable. Maybe mm-hmm. I can't do a good enough job. Mm-hmm. Neither lesson was what I wanted them yeah. to be internalizing. Yeah. And so I needed to help them redo any yeah. glaring problem. And for me to say, this is better than
good enough.
It's good enough.
Good
better
enough.
Than it not
mm-hmm.
being done at all.
Yeah.
And so it's not easy. Nothing about parenting is easy. And if it's easy for you, I'm going to say you're doing it wrong.
I feel it. Yes.
There are some days that go more yeah. smoothly than others,
yeah.
but it's just hard to
sure.
raise successful adults.
It is. And I'll just say this because it is crucifying our flesh and helping them crucify their flesh, so to speak. I think that's the part of parenting that we most want our kids to not just give into their own impulses. Like you said, if I scream and make a lot of noise, this is going to happen. None of us want that pattern or to be a part of their adulthood. So helping them control their impulses, and you're controlling your own human impulses in those moments that want to do things,
mm-hmm.
that's intense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard, good work of parenting.
Yeah.
And I think God really will meet us there if we can turn our eyes to Him and ask even for wisdom. I love that in James. If
mm-hmm.
you lack wisdom, ask of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe God can give us wisdom in those moments for ourselves and our kids in growing in all the ways that He has for us to grow.
Yeah, really, really good point. One of the things, too, that long-term parenting helps us with is discipline.
Mm.
So many times with young children, a discipline, an area of their life where they need some correction, they need some discipline, is just as often on us as parents as it is on the child.
Oh, sure.
We have allowed that behavior to take root in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when your child, just like when you notice that they're behaving in such a way, they might be having anxiety, sometimes they're behaving in such a way that we might have inadvertently caused that.
Sure.
Think about the child screaming at the restaurant or at the grocery
mm-hmm.
store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are they tired? Are they mm-hmm. hungry? Have they been gone all day?
Yeah.
There's just a number of things that have caused that child to behave that way.
Yeah.
What they are learning is, oh, I can get my way if I just scream enough. But what we really wish they would know is my mom is aware of me and I'm tired. And so she's choosing my needs
right
over this.
Right. Yeah.
It gets very tricky helping. We have to be thinking what's going to be good for the kids and what's going to be good for us at the same time. And that's where asking God for wisdom comes in. And this is why we're going to come back to this rhythms again. You need to give yourself a timeout, or you need to give your child a timeout. And I'm not meaning that disciplinarily. I mean, just take a step back, take a breather. Everyone will do better.
Sure. Noticing what's going on here. Like you said, take it rather than just, you know, reacting and trying to discipline. So I want you to talk a little bit more about what is appropriate ways to respond then when we might feel like disciplining, or when's discipline, how's it appropriate?
Well, there's just so many different scenarios. Let's say the child's screaming at the store because they want a toy. And you already said you can't have a toy. The choice is the child will keep screaming, and your choice is to buy them the toy or to leave the store at that time with the child. One of those is a short-term parenting strategy, of course, of giving them the toy. Long-term parenting strategy would be to, you can quickly say to somebody, an employee, I'm going to leave my cart right here, but I need to leave the store right now. I mean, you're going to be embarrassed. It's going to feel kind of funny to do that, but to leave the situation, go out to the car, let your child scream it out, whatever they need to do. When they're calm, you can't try to talk to them while they're having their tantrum, but when they're calm, you can say, you can't scream in the store. I'm sorry that I took you to the store when you were hungry, when you were tired, or whatever age they would be, what would be appropriate. You just have to be ready and willing to be inconvenienced, which is a huge thing that we're not, as human beings in the United States, encouraged to do. We're not encouraged to be uncomfortable or inconvenienced in any way, but I think that we need to be in order to be long-term parents.
Right, right. Such a good example. And I just feel like that removing both you and the child from that public environment has to reduce the anxiety then as you're able to navigate it. And just to
hopefully.
Well, and to let's be honest, parents, just prepare that we're going to have those moments. I think every parent's had those moments you need to leave, whether that's for a moment or whether that's for the whole event. Like, it's not wrong to redirect the day at any time as needed using our wisdom.
I was at a public library a few years ago, and there was a mom with her little girl there, and the girl's probably about 4 years old, and the little girl didn't want to be at the library. And the mom said, no, we're going to go listen to this story. She's going to read us a nice story. And the little girl made it very clear she didn't want to be at the library. And the mom said, you need to be quiet or we're not going to get ice cream.
Huh.
Now guess, was the little girl quiet?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was not. That was not enough to stop her. All she heard was the word ice cream. And so she wanted to make sure they left to go get ice cream. The truth about discipline, you asked, you know, when it's appropriate or it, discipline is 80% preventative. Look at the situation. What can you do to prevent the behavior from happening?
Sure.
One parent saying, my child won't eat any meals with us. He'll only eat cheese crackers. Stop buying cheese crackers. Children have this innate desire to live. They're not going to starve themselves.
Yes. Right.
They will eventually eat.
Yes. And I mean, it even goes back to what you said about noticing overtired, overextended. That's a huge one for yourself, for the child, noting your environments, what you're walking into. How can I best prepare? Not going in blindly, thinking ahead.
And we can go back to rehearsing. If it's going to be a new situation,
right.
you can tell your child, I'm going to pick you up from school today and we're going to go to, you have a doctor's appointment. Let's practice and see what that might be like.
Right, right. Love it. So preparing ahead of time, making sure we're in a good space to the best of our abilities. They're in a good space with their rest and ready to go. What else do you have?
I think that we, I don't even know how to articulate this very well, but I think that we think once a decision has been made, it can't be changed.
Yeah.
No, you can change
the adaptability.
Yeah, you can change your plans if somebody in the family is going to need something. And I think it's important for kids to know that they are a priority to you. They're not the most important thing in the world. There are times where they have to not get their way, of course. Mm-hmm. But if there are times when you do put them first, that's going to build that identity again, that they have value and they are important. There's going to be more ability for them to learn a give and take. If sometimes they do get to be the one who makes the decision and other times they don't.
Great. Great. That's what I think long-term goal, we want our children to be able to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that decision-making process is something we walk through their whole lives, giving them choices and then helping them. And I appreciate, even in the last podcast, we talked about, what's the best thing about this and helping them even learn how to process decisions. And then, what could happen if you made that choice?
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of them realizing their autonomy, that God has given them a will, a choice, and the freedom that they get to grow in. That is also a part of long-term parenting. We don't want them codependent.
Right.
On us.
And we want them to be comfortable in their own skin. All four of my kids, they had distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. They had such different points of view. And it's important to respect that about them also, and not have one blanket view of all my children have to do this.
Yeah.
Well, they're not all cut from the same cloth. They're all going to have their own personal views of that too. And so having those conversations, what is good about this, what might happen, is going to be across all personality styles.
Yeah. Well, again, we just have a short tidbit here, but what do you do in those environments, Jean, where your kids are clearly overstepping the boundaries of what's right and wrong? It's not anxiety. It's not what you've done or created, but they are rebelling in their little nature.
When you've done everything you could to prevent it ahead of time, they're still going to need some correction.
Yes.
And it all comes back down to controlling your own emotions. Mm-hmm. So you're not reacting out of anger, embarrassment, frustration. Yeah. And until you're able to monitor yourself and deal with them in an even way, I would say don't do it yet.
Yeah.
But engage them in a conversation. And it could, again, be asking to help them monitor themselves. What do you think happened right there?
Mm-hmm.
I always start with, how are you feeling right now? Or if it's after the fact, how were you feeling then? That didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. Wonder if there's something that we could have done that would have made you feel better in that situation. And regardless of what they say, you can lead the conversation.
It's more about learning at that point is what I'm hearing, which is our goal, is that they're learning when you correct. And I agree, knowing that you can take the time to do that, depending on their age, that give yourself the time and space needed for that conversation. Right.
Well, good luck, parents, in making some goals for long-term parenting, for imagining a future that you want for your children.
Bye-bye.